Yeah, okay. So so I guess we left off with the problem of the Rambam. Before we do that, let's go back to our Gemara and look at Rashi's a little bit carefully and look at the Gemara a little bit carefully. And then maybe we'll proceed to deal with an issue in the Rambam. Rashba discusses the Rambam, so we'll get into that. He doesn't explicitly discuss the Rambam, but
could you just abuse me of my answer?
Yeah, we're not up to the question yet. Rambam's, yeah, really? We're not up to that yet.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's got to be wrong because it's too obvious. So.
Yeah, well, fine. So let's just get to our Gemara. So if you recall, our Gemara try was looking for a source of the fact that Dvarim Shebelev ain't on Dvarim. So we tried to prove it from the fact that you could force a guy to bring a karbon until he says, Rotsani, even though presumably Belev he's not interested, so it must be, we don't care about what's Belev. So Mar says, no, because Anan Sa'adi Denichale Bekapara, that we are witnesses that it's good for him to get a kapara. And therefore we say that really Belev, he really did want the kapara. And he didn't originally. Well, that was his Yetzirah, whatever, all that stuff. But he really wants kapara. Okay, so therefore, he says Rotsani, and Belev it's Rotsani, so therefore you can't prove from there Dvarim Shebelev ain't on Dvarim, because there his Lev really does want it. Then the Gemara did the same thing almost with the Gat. It says, well, you prove it from Gat, because by Gat, you're forced a guy to do it even though he doesn't want to. But he says Rotsani, so even though he doesn't really want it, still it works. Apparently Dvarim Shebelev ain't on Dvarim. So he says, no, Mitzvah Shmo, Devar Chachamim. So since the Devar Chachamim is that you have to give a get, and he wants to follow the Devar Chachamim, so therefore we say that that it must be that Belev, he really wanted it. Belev, he really wanted it. And therefore, the same thing, he can't prove the Moshe Levi and Dvarim. So the problem is, or a problem is the same exact thing, twice in a row. I mean, the Gemara tried to prove it from Karbon, it was rejected, because it says, Anan Sadi, the guy wanted the Kapara, and then it asked the same exact thing from the Seifa about get. And then it rejected that by the same type of method. So the question is, what's the difference between these two things? Okay, it's a very straightforward question. I mean, there has to be a difference. Otherwise, I mean, you don't just ask the same question. And if you look carefully, the Gemara doesn't answer them exactly the same. Okay, if we look carefully, we'll notice the Gemara does not address them. Although it seems like the underlying issue is the same, but the Gemara doesn't address them exactly the same. Okay, so if we look carefully, see the Gemara does talk about them differently. Because the first one it says, by Kapara, it says, he doesn't want it. So it says, no, Anan Sahadi means we are witnesses, Denichale Bekapara. That it's good for him to have a Kapara. Okay? So it means, what does that mean, we are witnesses? What does that mean, yeah, we are witnesses?
It seems like common knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. It's everyone knows. It's common knowledge. It's obvious. It's an obvious thing. Anyone, we don't need to be a rocket scientist to tell you that, that is what he wants. You don't have to be a psychoanalyst to tell you that's what he wants. It's Anan Sadi. We are witnesses. You don't need anyone to read his mind and tell me what he wants. It's obvious what a guy wants. The guy wants Kapara. Who doesn't want Kapara? Kapara is good for you. Right? Now, he didn't want Kapara a few minutes ago. Right? He didn't want Kapara until you forced him. So you'll say the same thing. Yeah, that's because he's Yetzer. He really wants Kapara. Of course the guy wants Kapara, but he was blinded by his, blinded by his emotion, and he couldn't even, he couldn't see through it. But now, once we force him enough, so now he's able to see what's clearly in his best interest. Okay, fine. Now, in the next case, by the get, but the get emotion, you don't say. It doesn't say the anan sadi de nichale l'shma de rechamim or whatever. I mean, it just says mishum de mitzvah l'shma de rechamim. So you could say the Gemara is just being brief. First it has to tell you that it's mitzvah and zechachamim. And then, of course, it's implicit that Anan Sadi, that he wants to do the mitzvah from the rechamim. I mean, you could say that, but it doesn't, if you look carefully, the Gemara doesn't say that. It doesn't say the same lashon. It's just because it's mitzvah from the rechamim. So therefore, Rashi has to explain, because the Mishnah doesn't spell out. It's just, okay, because mitzvah from the rechamim. So what? What does that mean to do with that discussion at hand? It's very nice mitzvah from the rechamim. But our question is Dvarim Shebelev and what's in his lev. So who cares about mitzvah from the rechamim? So the Gemara isn't explicit about driving the point home. It's just mentioning it's based upon the idea of Mitzvah de Rechamim. But Rashi now fills in the blanks. Now Rashi could have said Anan Sadi de Mitzvah, right? But what does he say? He says Mitzvah de Rechamim, the Islan l'ich zuke bechezkas mekayim mitzvah, and we can be machzikim. We could, I guess, say there's like a chazaka. Establish him in the chazakah of being one who is mekayim a mitzvah. Okay, the v'gomer The Gomar Belibo, Lakain Derei Bezdin. And he has Gemiras Alev. He really is concludes. He, like, so to speak, changes his mind, and he has full das to go along with the words of Bezdin. Okay, which is the mitzvah, Mekayim Mitzvah. B'chazkas Mekayim Mitzvah. That's what Mekayim Mitzvah means. He's, that we can be machzikim, that he's a chazkas Mekayim Mitzvah, and therefore he's doing it. Belev Shalem, so to speak.
No, because it's a mitzvah.
It's a mitzvah. Because it's a mitzvah. The Gemara is showing mitzvah Shema Derechamim. Once you have mitzvah Shema Derechamim, so now you could be machzikim as a, you know. But if you notice, it's not the same exact lashon of Anan Sahadi versus V'Islam Le'echzuke. Bechaz Kesem Mekayim Mitzvah. Right? They're not saying the exact same thing. And the question is, what's the difference? Why not? Why isn't that just, is one just Hebrew and one just Aramaic? No. So what's the difference? It's true, the point that I think Ariel and David are both mentioning is that it seems to be easier to say that the guy is interested in his best interests, because he's kapara, everyone wants kapara, versus that a guy wants to do the mitzvahs. He wants to do the mitzvahs is already, maybe, you know, it's already different. Kapara, of course, is a personal thing, it's a personal stake at hand, he's punished, I mean, everyone wants that, but the mitzvahs is already a hard argument. But the question is, like, what's the halachic, like, what does Rashi mean? Islan le'achzuke v'chezkas mekayim mitzvah. We're machzik him. We like establish him in the chazaka of a mekayim of the mitzvah. You know what I mean? Like it's, I don't know. It's like a funny. It's pretty descriptive lashon. Like what? Just say we know he wants the mitzvah. Like what's he saying? He's saying something here. And he didn't say that before. He didn't say islan le'achzuke v'chezkas that he was a rotzeh v'kapara. Yeah, okay, so I was thinking, so basically like what Ariel is saying, David was thinking, that that basically there's a difference between, Anan Sahadi means that we can testify what a psychology is. We're not big psychologists, but anyone in the right mind wants kapara. Who doesn't want kapara? But you wanna, is it really worth it for you to not bring your carbon and to not have kapara? I mean, kapara is what really matters. Everyone really, now look, he's under the sway of an emotion, a particular emotion at the moment. But everyone, on Sadi means it's a fact. It's like a psychological fact that the guy definitely wants kapara. Okay, the guy definitely wants a kapara, and it's clear to us that he just was under the sway of an emotion, and he's just getting back to his senses. Once we give him a little beating, then we get him back to his clear, you know, das of every person. And on Sunday means everyone wants kapara. There's no, it's clear who doesn't want that. So we could be testify. We know for sure. We testify that he wants kapara. But you can say we testify that he wants to listen to the chachamim. There are people that don't listen to the chachamim. Right? I mean, there are people that don't listen to the chachamim. Everyone's kapara. Kapara is like your personal best interest at stake. But not everyone wants to listen to the Derech HaChamim. But there's an idea of a Chezkas Kashos. There's an idea, look, he's Yisrael. And I think it's kind of what the Rambam was talking about yesterday also. I'm not sure if it's exactly the same. We could talk about it after. But, I mean, the guy's Yisrael. And he has a Chezkas Kashos. Yisrael is a Chezkas Kashos. And he lives a life of Yisrael. Okay? And he's Chezkas Mekayim Mitzvos. Now, today, all of a sudden, he doesn't want to do a mitzvah. Okay? So, but now, when we force him, you know, we don't say that now he became a Rasha, and now he doesn't want to listen to the Derech HaChamim, and his Chezkas Kashos is gone. Rather, we attribute it to a particular emotion that was blinding him, but now he's back to his underlying Chezkas Kashos, that when he does it, he's doing it, because he is a Chezkas, Rotzel Kayim HaMitzvos. And therefore, once you neutralize the emotion, now he basically is Gomer B'Libo, and he has full das to do it. But again, not because psychologically every single person in the world does that, but it's because we're making use of a mechanism of chazaka, which tells us that he's a mekayim mitzvos. He has a chazkas kashos, and we say that it's not broken by the fact that he changed his, he was being stubborn, because we could attribute that to a particular hang up he had, and therefore we could ugne a chazaka that we're establishing on his chazaka that he's a mekayim mitzvos. But that's different than saying is that it's a universal psychological fact that every person is good for him to do the mitzvahs. Okay, now, you could still ask, so what? In other words, but bottom line is, chazaka is a principle. So it's true they're different, and I think we're so far, let me say this is true. This is a difference. They are different. They're not the same thing, and one's stronger and one's weaker. But bottom line is, in terms of the context of this discussion, who cares? Because since chazaka is a principle, we know about chazaka. This Gemara isn't inventing the principle of chazaka, and there's a guy that's chazkashos, and we're saying it's his mechanism of kviya, and kviya could help bring out his underlying will, right? Kviya could help bring out his underlying will. So now, and what he really wants. So now, why would I think that the kviya is going to work over there and not work over here? Okay. In other words, we've drawn a chilak, but
by the way, since work where and not work where?
Why would I think that kviya is going to work? That when I beat him to do kapara, so I'll say there definitely that was his lave. And even though dvarim shebelev are dvarim, we care about his lave. Look, Bamlin is, we know what his lave is. Yet somehow I would think that when it comes to the chazaka case, so then when you beat him, you say, look, maybe not. Maybe he's not a chazaka. Maybe he's not a kasher anymore. Maybe he doesn't really want to. Maybe believe he doesn't want to get divorced. I mean, but there is a principle of chazaka. I mean, is this Gemara coming to teach us the principle of chazaka? I don't understand. It's like the svara isn't 100% complete. This is a chiluk, but if you could show why, I don't know if I could do this. I'm not really sure. I'm just saying is, I think that, I think what we're saying is a very good step, but it's not complete until you can show why that matters. Why would this difference make a difference? You know what I mean? Why does it matter in the context of what the Gemara is trying to do? Who cares? Either way, bottom line is look, we beat him. The svara is the same, that the guy is under the sway of a particular emotion. We know that a guy psychologically everyone wants kapara, and this guy is a chezkas makayim the mitzvos. So now we attribute his stubbornness to a momentary emotion, we remove it, and then he goes back to his das, and we say, that's his lev. So that is his lev. So why is it that there's... Why would I think that you could prove it from the second case and not from the first case? Like, why would I differentiate? So they're different, they are a little different, but so what? It doesn't seem to be that should matter. And I guess there is a little bit of a difference, is that he says chesed kashos, but now he, since there's two types of people, there are people who want to do mitzvahs, people who don't want to do the mitzvahs, right? So now the guy flips, he changes, he says, no, I don't want to give a get. So you could say, oh, that breaks chesed kashos. So it's not a kosher anymore, right? So now the cheskes kashos is broken. Or you could have said that. You could say that breaks its cheskes kashos. So it's teaching you is that no, that you don't say that, but you attribute it to the emotion, and therefore his cheskes kashos could be maintained despite the fact that he went the other way. Where as opposed to in the other case, there's no. The kapara deal, there's no other explanation. I mean, it's nichlei kapara, everyone's nichlei kapara. It must be that it's a momentary thing. It's a momentary emotion. You know what I mean? But as you may say, in this case, you may say, look, chazakas kashas, once you see, in general, for us, let's say the guy's chazakas, you know, it's chazaka that he eats kosher. Now all of a sudden you see him eating treif. Right? So now he doesn't have chazakas anymore. Right? I mean, you see he's eating treif. But now we're saying, so in general, the way chazakas works. So it's saying is, no, but here, since the only time he's eating treif or not divorcing his wife is because of the fact that it's clear that he's under the stressing type of a thing, and now when we whip him and he goes back the other way, so now we say, we have a right to say, the kviya allows it to say that really he had a chazaka the whole time, and it was really just a momentary lapse. That's a chiddush, because that's working in terms of the mechanism of chazaka. It's a chiddush in chazaka. You may have argued chazaka's kashos once the guy contradicts the chazakashas, then he loses the chazakashas. We can't anymore start explaining it, whatever. Chazakashas means you're a kasher. Kasher is a kasher. But apparently the saying is that's not true. Whereas the one is telling you that even though he's chazakashas and he's broken that, you have this principle of kfiya allows you to even, so to speak, revive his chazakashas because of the unique nature of the situation. I mean, you could even go further there than that. Right? I mean, you could ask questions. So why would you say that the guy would lose his kashas due to that, or why would you say not? I mean, but that's another step. Maybe we could do that also. But I'm just saying is like when you're dealing with chizkas kashas, now you're dealing with a halachic question about how chizkas kashas works, and does it or does it not get undone permanently because of the fact that he does it, or you say no, you could attribute, could chalk it up to this particular emotion, you know. Whereas again, by the kapara, there are no two guys. What do you say? He lost his Chazaka that he wants kapara. Everyone wants kapara, so it has to be that. That's all. How else are you going to explain it? Hanan Sadeh, the guy wants kapara. This is the only explanation. This is a chiddush in chazaka. It's a chiddush. So normally chazaka doesn't work this way. Normally chazaka works. So once he breaks his chazaka, he's broken his chazaka. It's isra, and they call it. It's a chazaka, but it's isra. It means it's like a, it's a reyasa. There's like a deficiency now. It's been contradicted. But the saying here is that here, since it's only been contradicted because of the intense emotional whatever, and now you see that he flips back, you could like reestablish, teaching that you could reestablish a chazaka. Kviya is a valid method of reestablishing a chazaka. You know what I mean? Chazaka, you don't say, once it's isra, it doesn't, that's it. It's broken. But you say is that if you have a chazaka, which is weakened, but kviya brings him back, so islam la'achzuke, v'chezkes mekai, we could reestablish the chazaka that he's a mekayim mitzvahs, and he's a gemara believer.
You say it's a chiddush in kviya, or chiddush in chazaka?
I don't know. The interaction of them.
Okay.
Chiddush that kviya could, maybe it could be it's because of the halakhic institution, is that, I mean, it could be based on what like Rebbe was saying, is that Kfiya is an institution of tshuva,
right.
And since Kfiya is an institution was trying to induce tshuva, so therefore we have a right to say that it's true he is cheskash, but through Kfiya we could reestablish his cheskash. I, the guy, change, and that's what Kfiya tries to do, is to try to get him to realize that he's on this wave of emotion, and to give it up, and to, you know, so even if he did have a momentary lapse, but Kfiya could bring him back to his cheskash. The fact that he responded to the Kfiya, we say that means the guy responded to his underlying chazkas kashos, and he gave up the momentary, taiva, and he went back to his self. And you have a right to say that because that's part of the nature of who kviya is. Kviya is trying to get him to, to get it back in line.
Because intuitively,
that's a kofen, also Shemosa is teaching about how kviya works. But a kviya, but it's an interaction
it's
of the
interaction,
two. It's
right.
An interaction of the two. Is that
right.
Kviya? That's the chiddush, is that you don't just say, in general you'd say that if a guy basically breaks his chazak kashas, you don't just say, oh, maybe he just had a big taifa, and now, from now on he still has chazak kashas. I mean, you keep saying that, then there's no way to ever break chazak kashas. So, I mean, the chazak kashas means you're a kasher, and you don't break. But now here a guy does break, so you say, that's it, it's over. But the thing is, no, but since through the mechanism of kviya, which is an institution of Bezdin coming in to try to get the guy to be a chozer and to break his strong emotional state, and then he gives it, it works, so then you say that halachically is a reestablishment of the chazaka. You don't say the guy is still a rasha, basically he broke his chazakashos, now he's a rasha, and he's still a rasha, and he's just following another emotion. But no, you say that the kviya worked and did its halachic objective, and it didn't leave him how it is and just force the action. I mean, you have a right to, that's a halachic principle, you have a right to assert that. That's what's going over here. But that you wouldn't know from the case of, because even if you knew about the whole idea here about a kfiya word, about how this whole mechanism works by the case of kapara, you'd say, yeah, that's very nice, but it's not going to end up working for a kapara, it's for cheskas kash is broken. So that's what the Mishnah is teaching you, is no, that the Gemara says, no, I could tell you that even he is working the same way because kviya works to reestablish a chazaka. So that's mitzvah shmo de rechamim, and we could islam le'achzuke, that's what I was saying, islam le'achzuke, because he was really talking to, you see, he's really talking halachically. It's not just saying outside, he's really talking halachically. We could be machzik him through this kviya, we could be machzik him that he really is chesed kaim mitzvah. And v'gamar b'libo, kaim der bezin, now he really has a real gemiras das to kaim der bezin. He's not just saying, they're forcing me, I don't have a choice. No, he's really going to believe. So it means that we have a right to assert that. That's another chiddush. You don't know that from the first case. And if you wouldn't have said that, then you'd say this is a proof to Rosh Levin and Dvarim. So, right, you'd say to Rosh Levin and Dvarim. If you didn't know this. If you didn't know this chiddush about Kviya, it could change the reestablish Chazaka, then how do you explain this? Maybe believe he doesn't want it. So you say, it must be Doron Shalavan and Dvarim. So Gemara says, no. You could still say Doron Shalavan and Dvarim. We really do care about what's in his life. But the Kviya really reestablish Chazakashah, since he believes he really is a Kasha. So therefore he can't prove it. I mean, it's true. They would say, in terms of himself, I mean, if he knows that he's really still believe, say he's a Rasha or whatever, and he knows that it's wrong, then he knows that it's wrong in terms of himself, I mean, then that's it. If according to the says Dvarim Shalavan and Dvarim, that means that's the reality. But in terms of a Beis Din or whatever, we just have to go by what's manifest.
Because Beis Din has
a right to tell
her.
Right, because it's a chazaka, like any other chazaka. I mean, you have chazakas all the time that you could establish all kinds of halachic realities of ishus and whatever because of chazaka. So this is chazaka, chazakashas, that's it. So you could rely on it, you know. You'd meet one, even though it's chazakashas. Maybe it's treif, but that's a chazaka. Maybe it's really. But that's the way it goes.
That's not what halacha really doesn't care about.
But if he knows, then he knows, he can't rely on the chazaka. I mean, for himself, Right? I mean, like, there's halachas. I think there are halachas like that. Like, your wife is a chazak kashrus, but if you suspect, you think she slept with someone, this is, I forgot there's sigas like that. You really... Yeah, that's that. But there's another thing, which is, like, if you think that, like, that she's guilty, then you can't internally. Even though, like, even though halachically it's a chazaka and whatever. But if you believe it, then it's like shavya nafshe chaticha disura, I think that's what it's called. It's like, you made an asur, that's it. If you know, but that's but it doesn't mean vis-a-vis the world. They don't have to go by your internal predilections. But right. Bottom line, for you, you know that it's true. So I say the same thing here. Because only according to Sa'id Dvarim Shebelev Dvarim, which means that we really, halacha goes by lev, because Kinyan and Neder go by lev. According to Sa'id Dvarim Shebelev Ein and Dvarim, the idea is
that
the lev is only a halachic reality insofar as it's manifest in a Maisa. So then, which, this is where we're going to get to, because the Rambam goes like that, so we're going to get to that. But within the logic, which is this Gemara is within logic, the Rambam Dvarim, who we really care about is life. But still, the life has to be managed by Allah. I mean, we can't read his mind, so we have to use Anan Sadi, we have to use Chazakos, we have to, you know, these principles. Mm-hmm. But I think that's true. I mean, the Rashba brings up, we'll get this, but if he said at the time, listen, I don't really want to do this. I'm only doing this because of the Bezdin. And he writes a Modah, a Shtar, with a document which says, with witnesses, that I'm not doing it, then I think it really would be blind. And that's it. It doesn't work. Right. You know, because the whole idea is we're saying Belibo is a Ramakna. But
it's
not Belibo. I guess we just keep beating him. I guess so. Until he retracts the Modah. I guess so. But, yeah, I guess so. I mean, the Rashba, we'll see, we'll get that. The Rashba seems to indicate that does work. Mm-hmm. So it seems like it's really because we're saying that's what he really wants. And if we have evidence of the contrary, then we have evidence of the contrary. So look, if what he says is that we don't believe him, but if he gives a Mashtar Modah, that's all halachic institution, then we would. Yeah. It's interesting. Very interesting. It's very good, by the way. I think it's good, this whole thing, this whole discussion, if you're following all the steps here, it's very good, like methodology point stuff, you know, because it's like the steps. So we just first started off just by figuring out noticing this little difference in the Gemara and Rashi. To find the Rashi saying the halacha chazaka versus, you know, the difference between the two, that we need chazaka versus the idea of human, just absolute psychology, you know, of Anan Sadi. And then we said, what's the chiddush? In terms of, well, okay, fine, true, they're different, but why does that difference make a difference? So you get down to, well, oh, because chazaka, now we're dealing with halachic nature of chazaka, and it's positing something about how chazaka is working, and then we figure out because of kviya, and the halachic nature of kviya, that it worked, you know. So it's like, it's kind of the way svaras develop, is like in stages like that. You know, you have to take little steps and work your way towards, you know. But you see, it all started out by a careful reading of the Lashon HaRashi. You know what I mean? That's where it usually it's a good idea of svaras to develop like that. You know what I mean? So instead of just making up your own svaras, so you're guided by the Lashon. So, and there are clues, you know, they're solid clues. This whole idea of reestablishing chazaka, you have it by like a guy who's, let's say, a guy who's a gambler. So a gambler is pasul eidos. Right? Your average guy is kashrus. He's kashrus eidos. He's a kosher eid. But then let's say a guy is a gambler. He's a non-gambler. So gambling makes you pasul eidos, right? So he's psul. So how does he reestablish his chazaka as an eid kasher? So it says when he breaks his dice. Okay, that's not a lot. When he breaks his dice, it goes through all different guys how you do it. But it means like it's not just enough that he doesn't gamble, but he has to like do an action of with breaking his dice, you know. So it's like an idea. There are methods of reestablishing a chazaka. It's not just to say believe he did tshuva. It doesn't work halachically. Halachically, you have to have a method. So there are methods of you don't just say once a guy has lost chazakah that's it. But there are methods. So here it's teaching you a kfiya is a valid method of being machzik in mechazkas mekayim mitzvos. And that's the chiddush. I'm just saying, methodology is, you don't just look for the ultimate answer. It's too hard. You're too far removed from the ultimate answer. It's, the way you get there is you pick up on clues. There's small, subtle things, nuances in Lashon, certain questions. That's why we're asking questions. Because questions are clues that you're not understanding properly. Because if you understood it properly, you wouldn't have any questions. Right? It just makes sense. So every question is another clue. That's why you're always looking to probe for questions. Logical questions, Lashon questions. I would have said it this way, I should have said it that way. Like, all these are clues that you're missing something. Because if you weren't missing anything, then these things wouldn't stand out. But so things that don't quite jive are indications of your wrong approach to the thing, and they help you realize, wait, I think this doesn't make sense because I'm assuming this. Well, Rashi must be assuming something a little bit different. And if I look carefully, I could deduce I have to change what I was thinking and get into Rashi's head. You know, so that's what, like, and through the subtle clues, there's like, you follow the steps. And then you say, okay, now I realize I made one move. Now, okay, now I still don't understand that quite yet. You know what I mean? And then you work your way. It goes, you slowly build from step to step to step. And there's like a path, you know? And if you try to, like, get to the top of the mountain, so to speak, you know, from the start, you never get there. But there's like a methodology of thought is to take like baby steps, you know? You slowly work your way from the, you know, from the questions and the clues and, you know, towards, you know, developing an idea. But it's important because I think when you first think, you try to get, you know, you first start learning, you try to think, is this a Chafetz Chaim one? Like, you're already looking for the answer. You can't find the answer until you have the right questions and the right steps, you know? I mean, you could get it. Sometimes you'll get lucky by, you know, trying to just come up with a punchline. But it's not a good method. It's not methodology. It's not, in the long run, you're not going to be successful like that. You know, but it's learning how to pick up on the subtleties. And quite, so I think clues is very good. Like that's what he, like a muscle, there's a muscle that you get the mystery, like, you know, like Sherlock Holmes trying to solve a case. You just come in and say, who did it? Who did the crime? You just try, maybe it was this guy. Nah, you know, like, you're never going to get it like that. That's not the way to solve a mystery. You got to notice, this is a little bit off, who moved this, his fingerprint, why is this guy walking funny, whatever the ideas are. But they're a little, you know, there are little clues that help point you towards noticing, and, you know, you follow the path, you get towards, it's a good marshal, you know, but follow the path towards getting the idea. It really works that way. And I'd say the question is, how do you know when to stop working on these clues and to start thinking of the idea? I mean, it's a hard answer, but I mean, I'd say in general, don't start thinking. That's why I kind of, like, I don't know if you're in Shir sometimes I say, do they have any more questions? Before we have answers, give me more questions. You know what I mean? Because that's the methodology. That's the way to do it. Is don't start giving an answer. Because maybe the right answer is based upon three clues and you only have one clue. You know what I mean? So ask all the questions. You never know which question is, which clue is going to lead you towards the answer. So just take your time. Don't worry about the answer. You'll get to it later. Maybe tomorrow. Whatever it is, you know? But just ask as many questions as you could. Really take it apart. Okay? I once learned that the... I used to learn with Stavros' father. So he'd be ripping apart the Gemara, you know, like so to speak, like, you know, really critical of it. Like, this doesn't make any sense. And, you know, like, really, like, digging into, like, attacking the Gemara, you know? And I thought it was funny at first, but I think it's a good idea. Like, you can't be afraid to ask any questions, you know? I mean, these questions are because you're assuming things. You have to really break down all the assumptions. So I'd say keep asking. Then that's the way to take it, I guess. Before you start thinking, just ask all the questions. If you have an immediate answer that comes to your head, drop it. Don't think of that. I mean, you can throw it out, but forget it. I mean, it's usually going to be wrong. I mean, usually your first answer is usually wrong. I mean, you got to take a step back. Yeah, keep it in the back of your mind, but, you know, oftentimes you'll find that you're forcing that first answer in. So I say, forget it. Don't force answers in. Let the clues lead you to the answer. You know, and I'd say you'll run out of questions. You can't just keep asking questions forever. But you could go a long way. I mean, oftentimes, you know, you go a long way. And that helps you, you know, probe. Don't be afraid that you're going to totally not understand the sugya. It's good, fine. You'll end up with a lot of questions. Either way, that you'll know more about the sugya if you have questions. So I say keep doing it. I don't think there's ever a point that you should say, oh, that's it, enough questions. You know, I mean, although I don't think you have to necessarily go to the, you know, but I think it's always a good idea. Even once you have an answer, you could still look for questions. I mean, I think you should always be looking for those. But I think it's a good start. Good methodology is, even if in a good chavrus preparing for a shiur, I'd say is maybe it's even helpful to, even if you could just come up with good questions, and that's a good way to prepare for a shiur, you know what I mean? So, I mean, the answers, you get the answers. You learn to get the answers, but the answers come from the right questions. You know, it's finishing touches is getting the answer after you have the good questions. Well, let's see, so let's set up what we're going to do here now. So now we have the problem. This is the problem. And maybe we'll do talk about David's answer. We'll set some we'll do a little bit. Let's get a few windows in here. So now you have a big problem, I think. Because this Gemara is, again, what's going on in this Gemara? The Gemara is trying to figure out, Dvaran Shalev Dvaram or Dvaran Shalev Ein Dvaram? Okay? Do we recognize, do we care what he really is thinking, or we just care what's manifest halakhically? So... we care what's manifest. Oh, we don't care what he's really thinking. How do we know? So try to prove it from these cases, because if we really cared about what he was thinking, he doesn't really want to give a get. He doesn't really want to to do the karbon. So it says, no, the Gemara says, no, he really does want to bring the karbon, and he really does want to give the get, because of this whole complicated thing. Okay? And therefore, even if Yodvarim should believe Dvarim, we care what he thinks, we know what he really thinks. But if you were to hold Dvarim Shlevein and Dvarim, we don't care what he really thinks, we just care what's manifest halachically. So therefore, what's manifest halachically? He said, Rotani. So therefore, you should say, it's simple. The guy says, Rotani, there's no question, that's it. We know what he wants. But the Rambam, in taking this case up, he brings down this whole discussion. He does bring down this whole discussion. And he says, so since he brings down this whole discussion, why is he bringing down this whole discussion of, who cares, but maybe he doesn't really want it, or who cares if he doesn't really want it? We don't care. We're on, we hold Dvar Shlevein and Dvarim. Right? So that's the problem. So David, you have an answer to that? Good. So David's saying, good. This is what Rabbeinu Tam said, right? I mean, this is Rabbeinu Tam actually said this by Ones, right? Because remember that whole thing is that the Ramban versus Rabbeinu Tam is that Ones is part, like when we say we go by what's manifestly what he's thinking, we mean what's manifest not only in Dibor, but by the situation. And we said that Ones, this is in Rabbeinu Tam, Ones is a component of an action. So, right, if you swear to the tax collector, that all my payrolls will be also, right? Remember the whole thing? That ones is part of your action, so you interpret it based upon the ones. So if a guy says rotza ani when he's forced, that's not an expression of his lave. Right? That's not an expression of his lave, that's a forced rotza ani. But it's not, since you say that ones is a halachic component of an action, when a guy says rotza ani under coercion, so we should say, that's not just saying in his mind internally he doesn't want it. That's saying this is ones, and therefore that statement shouldn't be an expression of his das. That's just an expression of coercion. And if you look at the Rambam carefully, he said, I think that is what he says. We're not out of the woods yet, but that is what he says. He says the lama lo batel get zeh shari you anos, right? Because he's honest. He doesn't say because it's Doran Shabalev or whatever. He just says because it's honest. That's clear. That's an honest. So an anus is an objective phenomenon, and when a guy says rotani ba anus, it should just be that's simply worthless. So he says rotani, but he doesn't really want it, that's anus. So therefore, manifest, the guy doesn't want it. He said, I don't want it. And he did say, I don't want it. Now he changes his mind after he's coerced. That's not a belay. If you want to really know what's manifest is, the guy's not interested in this thing. And he's only doing it because he has enough pressure. So that's what the Ram has to go through and shut it up. He really does want it. And this type, regular anos, is say, yeah, the guy really doesn't want it. Like if you just force a guy to give you a gift or whatever, fine. But here, because of the whole psychology, is no, really he does want it. Gerish and Beischaf. Really does want it because of the fact that he, that whole story, because this is what he wants. He's Bechezkas, that he does the, you know, he's in Klal Yisrael and all that. So that's why it fits in the norm. Right. Okay, fine. Now the problem is, so what's the problem? It's not so simple, though. So the problem is, what was the Gemara talking about? I mean, the Gemara was saying, remember the Gemara? So let's just run through this in mind. This makes sense, right? So what was the Gemara talking about? The Gemara was trying to prove Dvarim Shebelev Ein Dvarim. Right? The Gemara was trying to prove Dvarim Shebelev Ein Dvarim. Right? How's it proving it? It says, oh, because you see by the get, we accept this, let's say by the karbon, we see you could force the guy, Kofanos Hashem Rotzani. So it says, if you care about his lave, he doesn't want it. Right, if you care about his lave, he doesn't want it. So Elamai must be, we don't care about his lave, we just care about what's manifest. Right, and therefore, that's why the carbon is good, that's why the get is good. Yeah, but what do you mean? But you just see from the Rambam, and from this clear argument, that's not a matter of lave or not, that's a matter of that it's an anus. And the guy clearly is not interested in this thing, and he's only doing it because he's forced. Right, he's only doing it because he's forced. So, how does that prove Dvarim Shebelev? Yeah, how does Gemara want to prove from this Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim? This is not Dvarim Shebelev. It's not Dvarim Shebelev altogether. Right? Because this is coercion. This is not Belev. Belev is where he's totally what he's thinking in his head, and we have no way to know. But this is manifest. The guy's being forced. It's an onus. So if the guy's an onus, it's a case of onus. Even if you hold Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim, you care about what he's thinking in his head, and you're going to have to. So how is this? How's the Gemara trying to prove in this case that we don't care about what's in his head, right, that we don't care about what he's thinking internally? This is not an internal issue. This is why even externally this isn't manifest. So how does the get work? So you have a question, even if you'll do Shalom and Dvarim, you'll say, how does the get work? Bottom line is, it's manifest that the guy's not interested in this thing. So you're going to have to say, even if you'll do Shalom and Dvarim, you're going to have to say, because no, it's we know you know, Anan Saadi, whatever. So the same thing you're going to say for if you say Dvarim Shalei Enan Dvarim, you say Dvarim Shalei Dvarim. So this is not a question on Dvarim Shalei Dvarim or Dvarim Shalei Enan Dvarim. This is just a question. Is how could we force a guy to give a get where it's going to be clearly manifest the guy's not interested? And the answer is going to have to be Anan Saadi. So that's... So the Dvarim Shalei will work, the other side will work. It doesn't matter. This Gemara should have nothing at all to do with whether you're Dvarim Shalei Dvarim or Dvarim Shalei Enan Dvarim. This is, I think if you read carefully the Rashba, and this is, I guess, tomorrow, I think he's trying to address this issue. Okay? Because he knows, he makes a note that even if you sell Dvarim Shalei Enan Dvarim, it's clear the Gemara knew the whole time about the idea of kapara. I mean, it makes it a note of that. I mean, he knows about the onus. I mean, he's working with it. So again, if you want to look at it, it's the Rashba, and the Masorah Kuk Rashba, Resh Pei Hei, V'afal Gav, till the end of the paragraph. First word of the line is V'afal Gav. It's like 6 lines from the bottom. This is